everybody. Welcome back to HTF Radio's The DVD Marquee, presented to you courtesy of thehometheaterforum.com and iCraveDVD.com. My name's Jeffrey Rosato, and thanks for tuning in again. And you're in for a special treat today, because we're starting a brand new weekly feature here, and one that I am very excited about. Now, if you've listened to our podcast for any length of time, you know we mainly concentrate on feature films, maybe an occasional current theatrical release, and ever so often we'll do what we call mini-marquees and focus on a single title. But even if you're a casual home video connoisseur, you know there's a phenomenal amount of television making the move from the small screen to the DVD scene. You know, just the other day I was thinking about how small the television show section of my local DVD shop used to be. And now it's almost the same size as the theatrical one. It's amazing, and it's not just limited to current stuff. There's also a big market for classics, too. Stuff like, you know, you see on Nick at Night and so on. So I talked to my partner Shane McDonald, and I said, man, we gotta start some sort of weekly TV feature here. There's just too much I want to talk about. So, since I'm a so-called walking encyclopedia of all things TV going back to the days of I Love Lucy, he said, go for it. So how about we christen this new feature of our ever-evolving podcast adventure right now, WDVD Marquee TV. I feel like a kid in a candy store, because I'm getting a chance to talk about two of my favorite shows on television right now. And as you can tell by that Danny Elfman theme in the background, the first show we're covering today takes us back in time to the last 24 episodes of Life on Wisteria Lane for Susan, Lynette, Bree, Gabrielle, and Edie, collectively known as Desperate Housewives, invading DVD again on the complete second season, Extra Juicy Edition from Buena Vista Home Entertainment. Now, I gotta tell you guys, I feel like I'm in the minority when talking about this program's sophomore year. Well, maybe not, I don't know, but it just seems to me that the critical darlings of ABC's Sunday nights were unintentionally cruising for a bruising like many shows that had the kind of success they did coming out of the gate. It kind of reminded me of Friends coming out of their first season, remember? They were like on every talk show, tons of magazine covers, and honestly, it's gotta be hard for the actors to the creative staff to pick up where you left off. You've got the network on your back, fan expectations are higher than a kite, and it doesn't help when things were just a little bit off for creator Mark Cherry and crew for the first few episodes of last year. Now, I completely agree with a lot of you guys out there. All the ladies seem to be isolated in their own storylines. There was very little group interaction that made the first season so special, and the less said about Alfre Woodard's ill-fated Betty Applewhite storyline, the better. But once the kinks were worked out around the end of the first third of the season, I thought Desperate Housewives Season 2 was just as good as it ever was, especially with a storyline involving Bree's descent into madness following the death of everybody's favorite psychopath, pharmacist George, try and say that three times fast, and Gabrielle's equally hilarious and touching attempts to have a child, which didn't work out, and then attempting to adopt a baby, strike two, and then having a housekeeper become a surrogate, which wound up putting the fate of her marriage to Carlos in the air. Well, you guys can tell I know and love my DH, huh? Anyway, but I gotta tell you guys, I am still smarting from the clueless Academy of Television for not recognizing the work of Marsha Cross and Eva Longoria with at least a nomination. I mean, all the gals were great, but Cross just expanded upon a good thing from season one, and Longoria just blossomed into a first-class comedian, in my opinion. And as proof of that, let's listen to this funny moment from They Asked Me Why I Believe in You, which was episode 5 of last season. It's part of a scene involving her character Gabrielle bringing back a lawyer to represent her husband Carlos, who's been in prison for some chat no-nos, if I remember correctly. Now, Eva doesn't have a lot of dialogue in this scene, but listen to how she makes the most of this moment when her legal representative blindsides everybody with, well, it's kind of a Robert Redford Demi Moore thing. Check it out.
Now, I don't think you have a problem with me as a lawyer. Clearly, I'm the real deal. I sense your problem with me is more personal.
You sense right?
You want to know if I'm interested in sleeping with your wife? Well, the answer is yes.
Carlos, he's kidding. Tell him you're kidding.
Shut it.
Love that laugh. You also heard the great Ricardo Chavira as Carlos and guest star Adrian Pasdar playing the hotshot attorney in that scene. Now, in the interest of fair time, here's one of my favorite moments involving the nervous breakdown train wreck in progress known as Breed Van de Kamp, portrayed by, okay, I'll admit it, my favorite housewife, Marsha Cross, as she tries to maintain perfection at her daughter's birthday bash. Listen to how Cross's voice is just so versatile here, going from a whisper to a scream, and how her performance can alternately bust your gut and break your heart at the same time.
Happy birthday, dear Danielle!
Stop! One of the candles went out! We're gonna have to do this all over again. I'm sure I'll be right back.
Mom, it's all right.
Sweetheart, this is your special day. All of your candles should be lit. It'll just take me 2 seconds.
Is she serious?
Welcome to my own private hell. That is some serious frosting.
Alrighty!
Who touched this?
Mom, what does it matter? It's just a little frosting.
Somebody ruined your cake, and I want to know who could be that thoughtless. Was it you? Or you? Who was it?
Mom, please, you're embarrassing me.
You look like a girl who enjoys her frosting.
No. No, I didn't touch it.
It's just a cake, for God's sakes. Will you please just cut it? Mrs. Van de Kamp.
Open your mouth. I want to smell your breath.
It wasn't me. It was Barbie.
Barbie?
What the hell is wrong with you? Now it's ruined. Everything is ruined.
Television Academy voters, hello, you're not watching the tape, so the DVDs you're being sent, or maybe those PR people just don't know what material to submit, but hey, if there are any big-name actors out there listening to this here podcast, I'll be more than happy to offer my services. I went to college, I graduated, and I'll make you the guarantee you'll walk away with an Emmy Award, or I'll buy you an all-expense-paid dinner for two at Wendy's. Sorry, I just can't afford the brown derby or spa dust just yet, but just, you know, give me time, you know? Okay, enough wackiness. Let's get to the DVD equivalent of tax-free swag on Desperate Housewives, the complete second season here. And I have to be honest up front. The biggest beef I had with this box set, no commentary tracks on individual episodes. Big letdown since I enjoyed hearing Mark Cherry's breakdown of some of the key episodes from last year on the season one set. And whether or not that was his way of responding to the critical backlash to this season, I don't know. But I don't think it is. That being said, what made things a little bit less disappointing to me is that he took about a dozen great scenes from season two and did commentary on them instead. And he did a great job, from breaking things down creatively to providing the surroundings involving the creation and filming of each scene. So this is probably my favorite extra from the host set. Still would have preferred full-length commentaries on pivotal episodes, especially the terrific two-hour finale, but you take what you can get. Other extras on the Extra Juicy Edition include two unaired storylines involving Susan and Lynette. I thought the latter was best left on the cutting room floor, but I think the former involving Susan's attempt to help with a domestic dispute involving her future father-in-law played wonderfully by television legend stand-up comic god Bob Newhart was some really funny stuff. Far more entertaining than some of the bits involving the Applewhites. But like Mark Cherry says several times throughout, that's the great thing about DVD, you can salvage this stuff. Let's see, what else have we got here? There's about a half hour's worth of deleted material with Cherry's musings. Desperate Role Models, a cute featurette featuring some legendary TV moms like Shirley Jones of the Partridge Family, Growing Pains' Joanna Kearns, Jane Wyatt from Father Knows Best, and several others, all talking about their favorite characters from the show and how the role of mothers on TV has come a long way from the days of, "How was your day, dear?" Anyway, there's also a very funny interview with Mark Cherry and his mom, whom many of you diehards know is the inspiration for many of his storylines. There's a far too brief sequence involving the stars of the show talking about their fave scenes of season two. And my second favorite extra on the box, a 16-minute documentary that takes us behind the scenes of a DH episode from concept to completion. Quality-wise, the picture and sound are perfection that rival the HD broadcast incarnations, so no shortcomings there. And if you thought season one had it going on, this is even better. So despite my slight misgivings on what I wish had been included, diehard fans that haven't picked this up, you need to. And for those that like to wait a whole year and get 24 doses at once, ignore the critical wussies and rent it at least, okay? Season 2 of Desperate Housewives, the extra juicy edition, available now from Buena Vista Home Entertainment. Also, let me throw in a quick plug here. Season 3 of Desperate Housewives premieres Sunday, September 24th at 9 Eastern, 8 Central on ABC. Ah, there it is. Theme music from another Sunday night ABC mainstay. Moving to Thursdays this fall. Because if you didn't already know that, since they've promoted it about 7,896 times. Yeah, that's the sound I'll probably make if I ever meet Ellen Pompeo. Oh, oh, Miss Pompeo. Okay, too much information. Sounds like I'm starting a Grays-esque voiceover, doesn't it? Yes, after its first semester made a smashing debut this past February on Digital Versatile Disc, the second season of Grey's Anatomy arrives on home video. The complete second season, uncut. Ooh. But to be honest, other than some deleted scenes spotlighted on their own on the final platter of this set, I haven't really been able to find what was left uncut on any of the so-called extended episodes noted in the companion booklet as of yet. And yeah, I am most certainly including the memorable start to the Super Bowl episode, which a lot of us guys played back about a half dozen times on our TiVos. Hello, too much info, but back to business, Buena Vista Home Video has come up with another TV box set that can proudly stand alongside their recent second season volumes of Lost and the aforementioned Desperate Housewives. Now, what I love about Grey's Anatomy is that it took a more than satisfying freshman season and expanded upon it just brilliantly in its follow-up year. The characters became more three-dimensional, Dr. Bailey proved herself to be a secret softie, Christina learned not to fear saying the L word, of course I'm talking about love, which is all you need, you know. George discovered that acting upon a crush you have on a vulnerable girl doesn't always lead to a happy ending. And speaking of that girl, Meredith discovered she just might have a career in fortune telling if this nursing thing doesn't work out.
Whoa, look out, Ray!
Oh. Jeez, I'm glad Ellen's contract wasn't up for renewal, I'll tell ya. Oh. And I'm only able to get through half the storylines due to time constraints here. I didn't get to talk about Addison, Izzy, who makes me dizzy like Miss Lizzie, Dr. Burke, Dr. Alex, Dr. Weber, and, who am I leaving out here? Dr. Ross. Sorry, my bad, wrong mega hunk. Dr. McDreamboat, who will always be Ronald Miller in Can't Buy Me Love to me. I'm sorry, Patrick, for bringing up the teen idol days, but that guy was just as cool as Ferris Bueller in my book, okay? But back to our regular review in progress. Creator Shonda Rhimes and company took what might have seemed like old hat to network executives and turned it on its ear. Grey's Anatomy mixes your usual hospital drama happenings with quirky yet involving medical storylines, dry humor, and more than a few dashes of romance, all delivered by a fantastic group of actors that have already established themselves as one of the best ensembles of all time. Now, as for the bonus features on this set, let's start with The Doctors Are In. T.R. Knight, Kate Walsh, James Pickens Jr., and Justin Chambers take a few minutes to answer viewer questions that were compiled especially for the making of this DVD set. It covers a little bit of everything from Kate's favorite outfit she wore while playing Dr. Addison to what James Pickens Jr.'s favorite pastime is off the set. There's also the softer side of Dr. Bailey, a very nice chat with a phenomenal Chandra Wilson who plays the scruffy but lovable Dr. Bailey, and why she and Sandra Oh didn't tie for the Best Supporting Actress at the 2006 Emmy Awards is beyond me. There's the Creating Pink Mist featurette on how the dramatic conclusion at the end of the episode As We Know It was put together. And it is mind-blowing to see just how much work was put into a sequence that lasted just a little over 30 seconds. And I'll tell you, these technical magicians, they deserved an Emmy as well. There's a set tour of Seattle Grace Hospital, with James Pickens Jr. serving as our tour guide for a nice little laid-back walkthrough of the incredible set. And while he's doing so, at the bottom of your screen, you'll get little factoids, trivia, and such. There's 20 minutes of deleted scenes, and unlike some shows where such things are mere throwaways, all of these are just terrific, and the only reason I feel they met the chopping block is for reasons of time. One of my faves from this section is a bit from the As We Know It episode when George comes in all panicky at the sight of Dr. Weber, all wired up after Izzy and Alex were checking him out for a potential heart attack. Remember that? And it is so good. Let me just play you a little bit of it here.
Chief? Oh, my God. What the hell happened to you?
George.
You're having a heart attack?
I'm fine, O'Malley.
Really? Because it doesn't look like you are, and you're kind of like the last of the grown-ups that aren't giving birth. They're melting down or about to be blown up.
George?
Yes?
You're freaking out.
I am?
Yeah, and if you don't stop, I'm going to start laughing again.
Okay, you know what?
Whoa. Wait, sir, wait, can we just do a few more tests? Come on, please. We just have to...
Oh, damn it.
Oh, God.
Now, I know there's no way he's ever going to hear this podcast, but just in case, T.R. Knight, you are comic gold defined. That's my way of saying he rules, and I just love the character of George O'Malley. Let's see, what else? Lots of cool stuff here. Most of the Jimmy Kimmel Live episode that aired the night of the season finale, where Chandra Wilson, James Pickens Jr., and Katherine Heigl came by. Man, James Pickens is just all over the place on this thing, isn't he? But I'm not complaining because he seems like a really nice guy. 5 commentary tracks on some of the season's best episodes, including the unforgettable Into You Like a Train and the 2-part Super Bowl episode I'm Still Gaga Over, including a terrific Emmy-nominated guest shot by Christina Ricci. And finally, wrapping things up bonus-wise, 4 extended episodes, including the terrific cliffhanger installment for the year, Losing My Religion, and for the uninitiated, Invest in a Box of Kleenex. What more can I say? I mean, it's a show in the era of HD. I don't have to tell you, it looks and sounds magnificent, even in SD form. And hey, it's cheaper than therapy. Grey's Anatomy, the complete second season, uncut, just what the doctor ordered, out now from Buena Vista Home Entertainment. And as we exit the lobby of Seattle Grace Hospital, that brings an end to our first WDVD Marquee TV edition of the DVD Marquee. But before we wind up our programming day, I'd like to remind you that if you're enjoying the show, why don't you pay a visit to podcastalley.com and help expand our audience? You can get there easily via our website. It's www.thedvdmarquee.com. And once you're there, look for the Vote for Us section and follow the oh-so-simple instructions. After you're done with that, go back and check out our archives of past shows stretching back to January, especially those of you new to the show. Finally, here's a first for you. We now have an email address where you can reach us with comments, suggestions, and whatever's on your DVD state of mind at thedvdmarquee@gmail.com. Until we meet again for HTF Radio, iCraveDVD.com, and the DVD Marquee, I'm Jeffrey Rosato. Until next time, everyone.